Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, July 16th, 2017.
Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading this morning is from Romans 8, verses 12 to 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up. But since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Teacher sitting on a mountain, see him walking along the shore. Friends and disciples gathering around him say, never spake a man like this before. Wise, the wiser man, as wise as he, weeping alone in Gethsemane. Did he know some would never see the heaven in his eyes? See the master walking on the water. Hear him speak in calm and angry way. Look at him raising up Jairus' daughter, and with a word Lazarus comes forth from the grave. But why is a man as strong as this, being betrayed by a good friend's kiss? Could it be that maybe this man missed the heaven in his eyes? And I'm not talking about the pie in the sky that your good boys and girls get in the by and by, but rather the strength, the strength that we can find if we got the guts to try. See the teacher playing with the children. Hear him baffle doctors of the law. look at the people gathering to go with him, those who see the vision that he saw. This is why a man as holy as he had to die alone on Calvary. It was the only way we could ever see the heaven in his eyes. The heaven in his eyes. The heaven.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have a few gardeners in our midst here, don't we? Hands? Raise your hands. I know we have a few gardeners here. Okay. Just wanted to make sure this was appropriate. Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and those gentlemen who raised their hands, I don't happen to be one of them, okay? But I do have the utmost admiration for those of you who have been gifted with that green thumb. And I am admittedly envious of the skills of the horticulturist here in our midst. I've always been thankful for the members who have shared the fruits of their labor with me. After all, there's nothing quite like fresh fruit and vegetables on the table. And if that sounds like a hint to you, well, it is. Yeah, it is. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you need to have a productive garden? Walk into your local home store and the shelves are stocked with a variety of products. Walk the aisles and see how many fertilizers and tools and accessories are available to that serious gardener. On this morning, we're going to get down to the basics. What is really necessary for any garden? There's the seed, there's the soil. And judging by the many bags of topsoil I've seen at many of the homes I've visited, good soil is absolutely essential for that seed to take root and grow. And in our text for today, our Lord tells us the very same thing. A sower went out to sow. The seed falls from the sower's hands. Sometimes that seed comes to rest on a place where there is little or no topsoil. Sometimes it falls on soil that is black and rich and fertile, good soil. And there the plant grows green and healthy and tall. Some seed falls on rocky ground. Now the seed can't take root where there is no soil. I don't know. The rocky ground always reminds me of those people who drop off their kids for confirmation class on Sunday afternoon, but can't be bothered to bring those kids to church or to Sunday school. I mean, what are you supposed to conclude from that? Do they really understand how much God loves them? Do they understand how important a living faith in Jesus Christ is to the lives and souls of their children? Possibly? Possibly not. They're not setting the right example for their children. Apparently, they have too many other things to do. And you certainly can't blame the seed for that, can you? The gospel of Jesus Christ can produce faith in any human heart. The word can help any soul, in any condition, and in any circumstance. People ignore God, and then they blame him for the hardship in their lives. But God cannot be blamed or held accounted for someone else's damnation. The love of God is for all. The fault, well, that lies in those hardened hearts that have no interest in our God's gracious invitation. Perhaps our gardeners can relate to the second type of soil we're going to talk about this morning. Spring arrives. You see those beautiful plants in the store just waiting there for you. You buy them and take them home, you plant them, and at first they flourish. But then when the heat of summer arrives, some wither and die. You look at them sadly, you think to yourself, well, I'll never plant those again. The seed that fell on the rocky soil, it started off well enough, but then the sun later bears down and scorches those plants until they die. And sadly, that happens in the faith of some believers. When they hear the gospel, they can scarcely contain their excitement. They want to share that excitement. But then, when they find themselves facing the heat of those unbelieving family members and friends, they back off. They exchange their faith in Jesus Christ to be comfortable among sinners who would mock them for expressing that faith. And my friends, if anyone does that here, don't expect any sympathy from me, because you are obligated to tell it the way it is. Simply put, following Jesus Christ is not an easy thing to do. And you can't tell people that some sins are okay while others are not. You can't give in. Too many have already have. Too many pastors and people are already doing whatever they can to put people into the pews, even if what they say and do ignores the Word of God. Now, suffice to say, this type of Christianity attracts some people. But this type of Christianity is not Christianity at all. It makes a mockery of the Word of God. It can form no root in the human heart. It has no power to keep anyone alive. The Word of God is power, and it has the power to convert the soul from unbelief to faith. It's not our job to make the Word of God more appealing. The Word of God does the job all by itself, and the Word of God knows no barriers except the barriers of silence, compromise, and hard-hearted unbelief. And so, how does this seed take root in us? How is that root fed? How does it grow and prosper? Well, certainly not by taking this Bible and putting it on a shelf. Not by passing on worship Sunday after Sunday. You know, we feed our bodies well, don't we? So why don't we offer our eternal souls the same care when the good food of the gospel is right here for us? How blessed we are to have the Word of God here in church and in our homes. And how dared we ignore it? Well, some seed fell among the thorns. And we must ask, why did God make weeds? Weeds are a lot of work, aren't they? A good gardener is constantly weeding. Weeds steal water and sunlight and nutrients. And what is worse than those dreaded vines that pop up and wrap themselves around that young plant and choke it to death? Jesus says such weeds are the cares of this world. And what kind of cares is Jesus talking about? Well, those cares that always come before Him. The people and the things and the times that you simply love too much. The things that compete with the Word of God planted within you. And if you allow these things to grow within inside you, they will take you over. They will wrap themselves around your faith and choke it until it dies. Those weeds need to be pulled up by the root, by intentionally seeking God's word and will for your life, so that you will grow a stronger and stronger faith. Now, suffice to say, that should be the goal of every single Christian, because eventually everything will be taken away from you except your faith. You came into this world with nothing. You're going to leave it with nothing, except by God's grace, your faith in Jesus Christ. And my friends, since that's all you need, that's enough. None of your possessions go with you. And none of those things you may treasure in this world today can save you. And I have to admit, I probably talk about it too much, or maybe not enough. The great love for possessions saddens me. There are so many examples. I always think of Thanksgiving. Every Thanksgiving, thousands of people gather outside some stores. Many camp around them to take advantage of those Black Friday deals. And then when that door finally opens, look out, those shoppers stampede like cattle. When the newest smartphone goes on sale,
Lines formed days in advance and stretched for blocks just to be among the first to get that device with some of those new apps. You know, I don't get it. And I've never seen anyone on a Sunday morning knocking down the church door to be the first person in the sanctuary. But then again, I guess there's nothing new under the sun. You know, there are things that we need, and God gives those things to us. He gives us cars for transportation, houses for shelter, money to buy food and clothing. And all of these things are useful, to be sure, but none of these things deserve our worship. But sadly, many people still do. And that's what our Lord Jesus calls the deceitfulness of riches. When we believe that things in this world can truly make us happy. The things that we worship here in this life are nothing more than thorny vines. They tear away at and destroy the faith of many people, leaving them unsatisfied, unhappy, and completely alienated from God. I'd like you to listen to what St. Paul says about earthly riches. The apostle writes, "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O people of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." When you receive a material blessing in this life, the first thing you should do is thank God for His generosity. And when something is taken away from you, you should ask the Lord to help you and then trust in His will. And finally, there is that seed that fell on the good soil and grew and prospered. This, my friends, is the heart of a person who is willing to let God be God and put his trust in God's goodness. What grace and blessing is given to this kind of heart? God makes sure that the seed of his word is watered and nourished so the plant will grow tall and strong. And the fruit that such a heart produces will be there for all of us to share. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this morning, take a good look at yourselves. What do you see there? We have all been hard, haven't we? We have all been shallow. We too have walked among the weeds. And yet God continues to let his seed fall upon us. He continues to plant his word in our hearts. He gives it the power to grow and to flourish because he wants us to have strong and believing hearts. Whether we allow it to grow, well, that remains to be seen. Will the plant continue to grow in us? Will we daily repent of our sins? Will we welcome the forgiveness that Christ earned for us on the cross? Will we allow our personal hardships to harden our heart toward a gracious God? Will we allow our things to get between us and God? Will we love God more than money and possessions? Will we give the altar of our heart to Him? Will we guard against those relationships that divide our hearts against the Lord? Will faith flourish and grow within us? Or will faith die? Finally, a word of counsel, if I may. Live your life today by faith, and live your life with an eye to the future. Keep yourselves open to the seed of His word, and keep yourself open to your need for it. Keep yourself free from those weeds that would choke it, and let the word of God grow in you. For if you do, it will produce a harvest of 100 times what was planted. For this is the power of God's word in your life. Take it seriously, receive it with joy, and let it do its work in you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.